I trust we recognize that the Lord has drawn near to us this morning. Praise God. Today we're going to speak about our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The word daily stands out in that verse, doesn't it? Jesus taught us to pray. And he said, when you pray, give us this day, day by day, our daily bread. That implies that Jesus wants us to come to him every day for a fresh portion of our daily bread. Right? He didn't say, Lord, he didn't teach us, pray, give us this week our weekly bread, and I'll see you next Sunday for some more, or our monthly bread. But he said daily, daily. And that's why we seek God daily. That's why we spend time with him daily. The grace and the help that I received yesterday is not good for today. I need something fresh. I need a new supply. And God has that for us. And he dishes it out day by day, sometimes hour by hour, sometimes moment by moment, because he likes us to keep coming to him. I told you about the grandfather who used to visit his grandchildren. He always had a pocket full of candy. And the kids would come, and he'd give them a little piece of candy, and then they'd come back later, Grandpa, can I have some more? And he'd give them another piece of candy, and then they'd come back a little bit later. And someone said, why don't you just give them a handful? Well, he said, I like them coming. I like that they keep coming. So I just give them enough to bring them back again for more. I'm like that in school. They call me the candy man in the school that I work because I got into the habit of giving candy to the kids. I wanted to get to know some of them a little bit, and I thought I could break the ice by giving them some candy. But then after a while, word got out, the candy man is in town, and then they all came to me looking for candy. And then they started looking for candy every day. Well, I couldn't do it every day. I would like to bring some of that paycheck home, not spend it all on candy. But and then I had the Muslim children. Is there gelatin in that candy? I don't know. Why does that concern you? Well, one of them told me because gelatin comes from a pig, that product, and they're not allowed to eat anything, any pork products. So they couldn't eat candy with gelatin in it. So we had to look at the ingredients, and I had to try to be more careful in the candy that I bought. But, you know, at first it was a little bit of a bother that the kids started demanding candy of me. You know, some of them, any candy today? Other kids, where's my candy? Like I owe it to them. And I said, well, how about, hi, Mr. Ken, how are you today? Oh, yeah, hi, Mr. Ken, how are you today? Where's my candy? So, but one thing I did like about that is even though I didn't bring candy every day, they came to me every day. Same kids coming to me. And so I had contact with them. I could talk to them a little bit, tell them candy's on the way, but not today. And so that's sort of like that grandfather. He just likes to keep them coming, just gives them enough to keep them coming. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes we spend time with God in the morning, before the day begins. Maybe you spend more quality time with the Lord in the evening. Every day we want to, in the morning, we make our requests known to him and we open our hearts to him. And in the evening, we look back over the day and we thank him for his goodness and his faithfulness that have followed us all day long. Praise God. In Exodus chapter 16, after the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, came out of Egypt and entered the wilderness, they began to complain because they were concerned that they wouldn't have enough food to sustain them. Maybe we can look at those few verses. Exodus chapter 16. And the Lord miraculously provided for them for 40 years in the wilderness. I'm sure when manna first rained down from heaven, they were overwhelmed by the miracle. After some years, I think they took it for granted, even began to complain about it. That's like us. We take so much for granted. We become so familiar with the things of God that they lose their wonder. But we don't want that to happen. We want to maintain the awe over the things of God. So they took their journey. This is Exodus 16 from Elam. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Zin, which is between Elam and Sinai. And on the 15th day, the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so they had been traveling for about 2.5 months. And I guess they were eating the supply of food that they had brought along with them. And then the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Praise God. And so the Lord heard their complaint, and he knew their need, and he already had planned to meet that need, I'm sure. And so he spoke to Moses, and he said, Listen, tell the people that I'm going to rain down bread from heaven, and I want them to every day take their bushel and gather enough to get them through that day, no more, no less. And before the Sabbath day, because I don't want you to do any work on the Sabbath, I'll allow you to collect for 2 days, okay? And then your natural need will be met, and your spiritual need will also be met. And so they were allowed to do that. And the added supply was preserved, and they were able to eat it on the Sabbath. And then came the first day of the week again, and they had to go out and gather their daily bread. You know, there are a lot of people in the world that live day by day. They don't have supermarkets and money like we do, where we can go and stock up for the week or for 2 weeks. They have to go and buy their food every day. When my daughter Bethany was in Taiwan, she said most of the people did that. They'd go out to the market every day to buy their meal for that day. And so she got into the habit of doing that too. It was interesting. But there are many people like that. Some of them don't know where their next meal is coming from. They get through today, and then they have to trust God to provide for them tomorrow, and then the next day. And so we've been very blessed that we're able to, you know, take care of our physical needs, our natural hunger, so abundantly. And yet, God wants to establish within us a daily dependence upon Him. And, you know, that's why we pray before we eat. And we acknowledge that that which we are about to receive has come from God. Yeah, but you worked for it, and Mom shopped for it, and she cooked it. Yeah. But we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. And we wouldn't have what we have if it wasn't for God's goodness to us. And so we always want to maintain that understanding that we need God every day. And we have to look to Him and acknowledge that He is the source of all of our blessing and all of our provision. Praise God. So they tell us that some people didn't listen to Moses, and they gathered extra, not the day before the Sabbath, but maybe it was a Tuesday, I don't know. But they gathered extra manna, and they kept it over, and the next morning when they went to see it, it had breeded worms, it had spoiled. And God was displeased, Moses was very displeased with the people, because God gave them a simple command to obey, and there were some people that couldn't do it. God told Adam and Eve, eat of every tree in the garden, but just this one tree stay away from. They couldn't do it. Isn't that amazing? And so it said God did this to prove them, to test them, to see what was in their heart, to see if they would obey him or not. And some failed miserably. So anyway, when we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying, Lord, supply our every need. Our daily bread is that which we need to sustain life, both naturally and spiritually, and to keep us growing. I have natural needs, and I have spiritual needs. Now, some of us are not very in touch with our spiritual needs. I don't mean us here necessarily, but people in general. They're very aware of their natural needs, their physical needs, and it's very important to them, of course, that those needs be met for them and their families. And Jesus said, the Gentiles, those that don't know the Lord, they spend all their time trying to take care of themselves, and they run around worried and anxious. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? So on. And he says, you don't have to worry about these things. Your heavenly Father, he knows you have need of these things even before you ask him. But seek first the kingdom of God. Put your spiritual need first. And then God will make sure that he takes care of all these natural, physical concerns that need to be addressed in your life. You know, sometimes people, they have a hard time keeping on top of things. They don't want to, they hold on to everything so tightly. They would never think of giving any money to support the work of God, paying tithes or giving offerings or supporting God's work somewhere. Well, we don't have enough money for that. You know, we've got too many things to take care of. We've got to get gas in the car and cable TV and, you know, all these other things that are a necessity as far as they're concerned. But, you know, you find out that when you try to live that way, you never have enough. And it's like having holes in your pocket, the Bible says. You put the money in your pocket and it falls right through. It doesn't get very far. And then you learn to put the kingdom of God first. You start asking the Lord to give me an interest in my spiritual needs and my relationship with you. Make that to be more important to me than these other things. Living close to you and believing for your kingdom to come in my life. And then he said, if you put that first, then you can rest knowing that God will take care of the other needs. Now, he doesn't meet everything we want. He doesn't give us everything we desire, but he gives us everything we need. Years ago, when we used to sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, right? That's one of our favorite hymns. Everyone in the world should know that song. But I always, a tear always came to my eye when I sang, All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. And I took a moment and I just realized, I'm here because God has provided what I needed faithfully. You're here today because God has done that for you as well. Praise God. So he doesn't promise to give us everything we want, but he says that if we'll put him first and seek his kingdom, he'll give us everything we need. And so we have natural needs. In Matthew 15, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I'm afraid that they're going to faint on the way home. So let's feed them. And the disciples said, well, how are we going to do that? And so he told them exactly what to do. How much do you have? Well, we have a few fish, a few loaves of bread. Okay, so Jesus took the loaves and he thanked God for them, and then he blessed them, and then he broke them, and then he gave to his disciples, and they distributed to the people, and not only did they feed them until they were all fully satisfied, but then they gathered the fragments and had baskets left over. Praise God. But Jesus was concerned about their natural needs. You know, we think, is Jesus concerned about this? Is this something I need to pray about? Can I really believe God to, you know, get that car that I need or this that I want? And, well, you'll be surprised. God knows about those needs, and he's concerned about them. He knows you're made of flesh and blood, and you live in a natural world, and these needs have to be met. And then I mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, toward the end of the chapter, take no anxious thought what you shall eat, drink, or what you shall put on. Your heavenly Father knows ye have need of these things. Praise God. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows when a bird falls to the ground. He knows you better than you know yourself, and you're more precious to him. You're his most precious creation, man is. Praise God. And so, we can trust our Heavenly Father to take care of us. I like this verse in John 21, verse 9. Jesus had already gone to the cross, been crucified, buried, raised on the third day, and now he was visiting his disciples from time to time. And it was a confusing time for them because they never knew when he was going to turn up. You know, maybe Jesus will show up today, then he'll disappear, and then we don't know if he's going to come back tomorrow for a few days later or next week. And so the disciples, they said, well, we can't just sit around waiting for Jesus. We got families to feed and so on. So Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. And some of the others said, we're going with you. And so they were fishing, and they fished all night and didn't catch anything again. And then there was someone standing on the shore, and he said, you catch anything? You know, whenever I go to the pier and I see the fishermen, the first question you ask them, catch anything? And then they want to show you what they caught or didn't. And then he said, throw the net on the right side of the ship. And so they did it, and they caught so many fish that they were dragging the fish. They had to come and help one another and drag the fish to shore. And that's when John recognized, that's the Lord. That's the Lord on the shore. That's like when he first called us. Remember, we fished all night and caught nothing. And then he got into our boat and said, launch out for a draft of fish. Told us when to drop the net. And we got so much fish, our nets began to break. And so he recognized that was Jesus, bringing them back to their first call, maybe reminding them. But I like this. It says, when they got to shore, as soon as they would come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on there and bread. Jesus made breakfast for them. The resurrected Christ was still loving them so intimately and just concerned that they needed breakfast. I skipped breakfast this morning, so this verse is very important to me for some reason. I'm thinking about those sausage links that I saw as I walked through the kitchen. I remember just my dad called that to my attention. He was impressed with that. Jesus, this isn't, you know, this is Jesus who was crucified, descended to the lower parts of the earth, ascended to his Father. And yet he's still taking care of the disciples just like he always did, and making sure that their natural needs were met. I think he wanted them to know that nothing changed here, that he loves them just the same and is concerned about those needs as well. And then, of course, we have not only natural needs, but we have spiritual needs. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, that's the temptation of Jesus. What's the first thing that the devil tempted him to do? Valerie, turn these, yeah? Yeah, turn the stones into bread, right? Yeah. And Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need natural bread, but that's not all we need. We need spiritual bread, too. There's a natural part of us and there's a spiritual part of our being. And that spiritual man needs to be fed and needs to be nurtured and cared for. And so the devil was directing his temptations to all of Jesus' natural needs, it seemed, in that case. But Jesus said, I don't just live to supply my natural wants, but I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. There's a spiritual realm that I walk in. There's a spiritual aspect to my life that is the most important thing, the thing that is eternal, and that is what I put first. I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then Jesus in John chapter 6, when he was feeding the multitudes, and another time, he talked about how God, in the days of Moses, gave them bread from heaven, called it angel food. He said, but your fathers ate that bread when they were in the wilderness, and now they're all dead. That was a long, long time ago. They're all gone. That bread sustained them while they were here on earth. But he said, I am the bread of life. John 6, 31, begins there through 35. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. He'll live forever. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And we talked about that a little bit the other day. A hard pill to swallow when we were on the beach. And how what Jesus was saying is that you don't have any life in you unless you draw life from me. Jesus called them to make a full commitment to him. He said, you need me in your life. You need my life to be in you. And he who has Christ has eternal life. You can't separate our daily bread from the Lord Jesus himself. He is our daily bread. He is that manna that came down from heaven. He is the source of all that we need. Jesus said in John 7, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Remember he talked to the woman at the well? And he said, if you drink the water that I give you, you won't have to come here every day. You won't have to, well, what did he say? He said, if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. And she said, oh, Lord, give me that water so I don't have to come to this well anymore. And he said, the water that I will give you doesn't come from a well or some outside source. It will be within you. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. And there again, he was talking about the Holy Spirit that we need day by day. We need to draw upon the life of Jesus. We need to receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing, a greater infilling. Day by day, we need to believe God for that. We receive Jesus by receiving his Spirit into our hearts. Praise God. But my God shall supply all your needs, both natural and spiritual, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. Praise God. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen. For now and for all eternity. But we have to come to him. God wants us to learn to depend upon him, to look to him every day. And so we pray daily, God, today, you gave me this day. This is the day you have made. Today, give me my portion for today. And then I'll come back tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Let's look at some of the things that the Bible says that we can receive or expect from God, or that we need each day. Okay, so I'm going to have some of you read these verses, okay? 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Raise your hand if you'd like to read that. Okay. Breathe if you want to. Jonathan. 2 Corinthians 6:2.
For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen. Yeah. The writer to the Hebrews mentions that as well. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today, Jesus wants you to open your heart to the outworking of his salvation in your life. That doesn't just mean to ask Jesus to come into your heart and wash away your sins initially, but it talks about the fact that God, this salvation is so great and it includes so much. And God wants to bring you into it. He wants to work it out in your life day by day. All the blessings that he's purchased for you, all the healing, all the changes that he wants to bring about in your life. There are some things that we've received when we first got saved, and then there's things that we receive and experience as we go on seeking God day by day. And then, of course, heaven is something that we're not experiencing exactly in its fullness right now. We have a little bit of it in our heart for sure, but that's something that we are looking forward to. There are changes that God promises to make in us that we are yet looking forward to, and that is all part of his salvation. So day by day, we recognize this is the day of salvation. Today, God wants to save me better and experience more of his wonderful blessing. Psalm 68. Is that verse 2? Daily loads?
Verse 19 here.
Okay, please.
It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah.
Amen. It's verse 19. Okay, thank you, Brother Dale. When I read that, it reminded me of Psalm 103. Blessed all my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord all my soul and forget not all his benefits. And then what are those benefits? Do you remember, Brother Dale?
Giveth all thine iniquities.
That's one.
Healeth all thy diseases. Who
deemeth thy life from destruction.
Crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that your youth is renewed.
So that thy youth is renewed like Jesus.
Well, those are good benefits, right? And it says that he loads us with them daily. Okay, there's forgiveness for us daily. That's one of our daily needs. That's my daily bread. Lord, I need forgiveness today, I'm sure. And I need healing, perhaps, today. And I need, I don't know, what these other things that were mentioned. Praise God. And so he daily loads us with those benefits. Okay, so now someone's going to read for us, please, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23.
Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. God's mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness, it's new every morning. That's day by day, right? Every morning, God, I can expect to experience this day the mercy, the compassion, the love, and the faithfulness of Jesus in my life. I need that. God, I need you to be merciful to me today. Be patient. I need your faithfulness. I need to depend upon you today, and I need to experience your love. We can all recite this one together. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. I've mentioned before that the thought there is that goodness and mercy is following us in order to catch up with us. It's, goodness and mercy is chasing us. It's pursuing us. And so we want to slow down a little bit during the day and let goodness and mercy catch up with us, right? Don't have to be in such a rush, running around like a chicken without a head. But take time. Wait on God. Slow down. Look to him. And you'll see that goodness and mercy will catch up with you today. This one doesn't say daily, but 1 Peter 2:2 is something that I trust that parents do daily with their young children. It says to desire what? You're going to find that for us? Thank you. 1 Peter 2:2.
Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation.
Right. Our daily bread is that which helps us to grow. And when we had babies, we had to feed them every day. Isn't that something? We still do, although they help out now. But as newborn babes, they just crave that milk. They cry for it. He says, you ought to be like that as Christians, and you ought to desire the milk of God's Word, the pure milk of God's Word, so that you can grow in your Christian life. And you, if you neglect that, you hinder your growth. If you neglect spending time in prayer day by day, you neglect feeding on the Word of God, meditating on some truth in the Word of God, you lose out. I have just a few more. Deuteronomy 33:25. And someone else can find Matthew 6:34. Deuteronomy 33.
The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days.
Okay. Here God promises, as your days are, so shall your strength be. God promises to give us strength day by day if we'll claim it. We need that. We need physical strength, and we need spiritual strength. God would strengthen us with all might by His Spirit in our inner man, but He also quickens our outer man. If the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies, give life to your physical bodies. Have you ever experienced that? You're so tired. Sometimes people there, I'm so tired. I had to drag myself to church or to, you know, meeting. But when I got there and I started worshiping the Lord, oh, something happened to my physical body. I was refreshed. I was quickened. And I came out feeling so much better. And I thought, that was better than 8 hours of sleep. You know, sometimes we think we need to get to bed, and so then we get to bed, and we wake up, and we're more tired than when we started. tossing and turning, and, you know, just because you want to sleep doesn't mean you can sleep all the time. I found that out. But often I've come into the house of God, and it was an effort to get there. I was tired. But then, just in the presence of God, worshiping the Lord, hearing His Word, it does something for you. Physically. There are times you have to. God wants you to stay home and rest. But maybe we do that more than we need to. When Jesus promises that He can quicken our mortal bodies, of course that has to do with healing, and of course that has to do also with the change that's going to come in our bodies when the Lord returns and this corruptible is exchanged for incorruption, right? Praise God. So shall your strength be day by day. Here's a strange one. I figured I'd throw it in. Matthew 6:34. I bet this is one you would have chosen. Do you have it?
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yeah, isn't that great? Every day will have enough trouble, so you don't have to worry about tomorrow. But I think the implication there is that God has grace for you every day to deal with the troubles and the trials that come into our lives daily. Sometimes they're more severe, sometimes they're little things, but God says, don't worry. I have grace for you. So draw upon my grace today, and I'll help you to take care of those problems. I'll help you to get through. And then tomorrow, I'll help you to get through again. You know, I was going through a trial one time. It was rather severe to me. And, you know, I was worrying. I was tempted to worry about things and about people and so on. You know, when you have time to think, you start thinking about, well, what if this happens? You know, this can lead to this, and what if that happens, or what if the other thing happens? And I was thinking about all the bad things that can happen yet, and, you know, I was worried about some of these things. And then the Lord just seemed to give me the thought, well, if that happens, I'll give you grace to take care of that. Yeah, but what about if this happens? Oh, well, if that happens, I'll give you grace to take care of that. And I couldn't come up with one scenario that the Lord could not provide grace for me. So I stopped worrying about it. I said, well, so it doesn't matter what happens. God will give me grace. He'll give me wisdom. He'll get me through. Praise God. You know, the devil likes to paint a dark picture and make you think of all the terrible things that can happen and make you lose your peace. But he can't come up with anything that God doesn't have grace for. God's grace. Sin may abound, but God's grace abounds more. Thank God. And here's my last one. Maybe we should look at that together. Psalm 141, verse 2. Psalm 141. There are probably others, but those are the ones I came up with. But if you look over these studies yourself, maybe the Lord will enlarge upon these things. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, the children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness, and also, of course, when they settled down into the promised land, every morning and every evening they were to sacrifice and burn incense to the Lord. That was the job of the Levites and the priests. But it was a daily thing. Daily, God was to be praised. Daily, sacrifices were to be offered. Daily, the incense was to rise before the throne of God. And to hear the psalmist is saying, Lord, let the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Brother Gardner said, you know, it's sort of like Pilgrim Camp. We have worship in the morning and we have worship in the evening. And so there's something about praising God daily, offering yourself to him daily. We need to do that. And Jesus looks for that in our lives. He doesn't force any of his blessings or benefits on us. But when we come to him, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And then you open your heart and lift your hands and praise him. God pours into us. He has a receptacle that he can fill with his presence and his glory and his grace and his strength and his life. Oh, praise God. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying daily. We're praying for more of Jesus. We're praying for all that Jesus is to us. We need. And so you can't separate praying for our daily bread from praying and receiving Jesus himself. Isn't it wonderful that we have our Heavenly Father that knows what we need? He knows what we need before we know it. He knows what we need better than we know it. And he's faithful to supply those needs. And his supply never runs out, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing, Who Can Thrill the Heart Like Jesus? Every need his hand supplies. Okay, that's in our 483. Thank you.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence all divine. Through and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. In my so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus, He is more than life to me.
Jonathan, will you pray with us, please? Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for all your goodness, your mercy to us, your provision every day. Thank you that you deign to walk with us all along the way. Bless us throughout this day and keep us and bring us back together this evening to worship you again. In Jesus' name.
Amen. A reminder that we have a staff prayer at 4:15 here in this room. Guests are also welcome to join us if they'd like, but if you're not on duty, you're required to be here. We need you. We need your prayers and your faith. Okay? God bless you all. Have a good day walking with Him. Amen.